In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we heard a familiar gospel reading today, the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, and the feeding of the 5,000. Truly miraculous event in the life of the Lord. It's such a great event that it's recorded in all four of the gospels. The Lord did many signs and wonders, and yet not all of them are recorded in every single gospel, but this event is. This is an event that reveals the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this event has much to teach us who are his followers, who are his disciples. We'll speak about the context of the event. In the Lord's three-year earthly ministry, he went out and he preached and he taught and he worked miracles and he prepared people for the coming of the descent of the Holy Spirit and their entrance into the kingdom of God, which is within them. During these 3 years, the Lord spent much time with his disciples and much time with the crowds. He went into the synagogues on the Sabbath. He went to the temple on the feast days, and he spoke to the people about this kingdom that is to come and that kingdom that it is within them. Today, we hear about the Lord teaching the disciples in a wilderness, in an abandoned, barren place, in a place that nobody would go unless if they had a reason to go there. The Lord departed there with his disciples, with the 12, to have some rest, to have something of a retreat from all of the work that he was doing in Galilee and Judea and in Palestine. He was working the disciples very hard. He himself works all the time, and there is no obstacle for his continued work, but he knew that the disciples were mere men. They were not God incarnate, and they were tired, and they needed something of a break. This happened also at the time that St. John the Baptist was beheaded. The disciples had just heard about this event, and they were downcast. They were fearful. They wondered who might be next. Perhaps it was them. Perhaps it was their teacher. And the Lord said to the disciples, come with me. We're going to go away for a little while. We're going to put the mission, if you will, on pause for a second. And he went out. And with the disciples, they got into a boat, and they crossed over the Sea of Galilee. They were in the northern area of Galilee, on the north part of the sea, and they crossed over the very tip of the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples went with the Lord, and the crowd saw them leaving. And the crowds wanted to be with the Lord too. They wanted to follow him. They wanted to be his disciples as well. And since it was in the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee, they went on land and walked around the tip. And they came to the place where the Lord had landed with his disciples. And there they asked for more teaching. They asked for more healing. They wanted to see more signs and be confirmed in their growing faith. And of course, the Lord had compassion upon them, as we read in the Gospels. And he taught them. And he healed them. And he did this throughout the whole day. And it got to the point where it was nearing night. And the people hadn't been fed. They were out there in this wilderness, in this barren place. And they'd been there all day, some 5,000, not just men, but women and children. And there was no food for them. The disciples brought this question to the Lord. Lord, what shall we do? Send them away? Send them to the villages? Let them find food for themselves? The Lord says, no, you feed them. The disciples had no idea what the Lord was talking about. It's even recorded in the Gospel of St. John that one of the disciples says to the Lord, there's just this boy here who's got 5 loaves and 2 fish, but where are they for so many? How could we possibly feed them? Another disciple says it takes 6 months' salary to feed such a crowd. And they were poor. The Lord then did what he knew he was going to do. He asked for those loaves and those fish. He looked up to heaven. He blessed and he broke. And he gave to the disciples to give to the people. And everyone was fed. And not only was everyone fed, but there was leftover. 12 baskets full left over. This was a truly remarkable and impressive event. truly a sign from heaven that Jesus is the Christ. Now, the Lord then dismisses the crowd, and he tells the disciples that he's going apart to pray by himself, and that they're to cross again over on the boat across the Sea of Galilee, and to wait for him on the other side. And this is nighttime when he goes up to the mountain to pray. We'll hear this gospel actually next Sunday, but I mention it today because it's connected. The Lord goes up to pray, the disciples go out to cross the Sea of Galilee, the crowds are going around on foot. Now, while the disciples are crossing the sea, there's a storm. And they think they're going to perish, and Christ comes walking on the waters to them. Has a conversation with the Apostle Peter, he comes out on the waters, and he walks too. Then they arrive on the other side, and those crowds that had went and followed the Lord come and have a discussion with him. And he tells them that they're following him, they're looking to him, because they were fed. They were nourished by the bread, but physically, materially, earthly fed. And that this is what they were looking for. And the Gospel of St. John, it even says that they wanted to make him king. They didn't want just a Messiah, a Savior. They wanted a king, a ruler, someone with power and authority and resources. They figured if he could multiply the loaves, he could multiply an army. He could multiply land. He could multiply riches. He could give us everything that we want. He has such power in him. They wanted an earthly kingdom. And yet the Lord told them, that's not what it's about. It's about the kingdom to come and the kingdom within. This week we'll hear about another event that occurs in Galilee, in this northern region of Palestine. The event is the Transfiguration of the Lord. We have a wonderful icon at the back of the church of the Transfiguration, where the Lord took Peter, James, and John up a mountain, and he was transfigured before them, and he shone like the sun. And they were blinded by this light. They couldn't look at this light. And Moses and Elias appeared. Apostle Peter says, it's good to be here. Let us make three tents. He was out of his mind with this revelation of the kingdom of God. These events speak to us in a very powerful way. They speak to us about what it is to be a follower, what it is to be a disciple of Christ. You know, there are many people who heard the record of this miraculous feeding of the 5,000. It was recorded in the gospel. It was told immediately by those crowds when they went back to their homes and to their towns and cities and villages, and they told people what had happened. I can guarantee you that the response of everyone who heard about this event was, I wish I were there. I wish I could have seen it with my own eyes. I wish I could have tasted that bread and that fish. I wish I were there. You know, the event of the Apostle Peter walking on the water is another event that people wish they could have been there for. They wish they could have been among the 12 and would have seen the Lord walking on the water and one of his disciples walking on the water. The Transfiguration is an event people wish they could have seen. Well, if only we could go back in time and we would have a video camera and record it and see that wonderful light and see that kingdom of God. If only we were there. If only we were there. During this 3 years, the Lord tried to incorporate everybody into his revelation, into his preaching, into his miracles, into his signs. He went to those synagogues, and he went to give them a taste of what he had to offer, a taste of that kingdom of God. He went to the temple to offer the same. But not everyone was wholly interested. Not everybody decided to follow him, to be his disciples, to follow him wherever he would go, wherever he would be, so that they could be with him, listening to him, being fed by him, taught by him, healed by him, enlightened by him, supporting him, so that they could just be with him. One of the things that's often repeated in our liturgy, we say this wonderful verse, commemorating our most holy Theotokos and Ever-Virgin Mary and of all the saints, let us commend ourselves. Let us commit ourselves, one in each other, and our whole life to Christ our God. We say this all the time. And what's the response? To Thee, O Lord, to You, O Lord. We commit ourselves wholly, our whole life, everything to You, together with the Mother of God and all the saints and all Your disciples and followers throughout the ages. We commit everything to You, and we will be with You always. In Old Testament times, the bar was lower than it is in New Testament times. The base level of commitment was less. Every good Jew would be in the synagogue or in the temple on the Sabbath. They would keep the high festivals. They would observe the Mosaic law. They would offer 10% of their income to the Lord. They would offer a portion of their life, whether it be one day of the week, a certain percentage of their wealth. They would offer a segment of their being back to God. In the New Testament, that bar, it's raised. How high is it raised? Anyone take a stab at that? How high is that bar raised? As high as it can possibly go, right? It's raised to heaven, that we commit ourselves to the King of heaven and to His kingdom, and we do it wholly, all the time, with everything we've been entrusted with, whether it be time, treasure, or talent. Whatever it is that we've been entrusted with, we commit it to God. When we pray unceasingly, all the time. When we deny ourselves, we deny every sin, every passion, every evil thought, desire, and deed. We walk away from everything. And we commit ourselves wholly to Christ. Those people who did this and whose witness is recorded in the New Testament are members of His kingdom. They're people who entered into this kingdom through their commitment, through their clinging to Christ. Those people who didn't commit themselves to Christ wholly, fully, to that higher bar that is at the heights of heaven, all they can say now is, I wish we had done that. We wish we had committed our life to Christ. We wish we had followed Him out into the wilderness to be among His disciples on the Sea of Galilee, to go up the mountain with Peter, James, and John. We wish we would have done it. But we didn't, and we missed out. Brothers and sisters, the bar is high, but it's high because the kingdom is that lofty. There's a challenge involved. There's a commitment that has to be made. But if we make that commitment, then we see great and marvelous things. Greater than the multiplication of the loaves. Greater than walking on the Sea of Galilee. What we see is we see the glory of the kingdom that Peter, James, and John saw. We see Christ in glory, on the throne with the Father and the Spirit. And we rejoice in that vision. We say, it is good to be here. It is good we made this commitment. It is good we followed this Messiah. It is good that we are disciples of this teacher. This August, we have an opportunity to be with Christ, where He is going, where He is leading us. And where is He leading us? The Dormition Fast. Add into the wilderness, where we're hungry, where we're not fed with earthly things, but where we are fed with heavenly things. It's a difficult thing, the Dormition Fast, right in the middle of the summer. If there could be a worse place to put the Dormition Fast, I don't know what it would be. But actually, you know, it's probably the best place to put the Dormition Fast. Because it gives us that chance to commit ourselves fully, wholly, in a way that we couldn't otherwise do. This week, in just a few days, we celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration. Another event that requires some commitment to be part of. To come during the week for a weekday service. To take off work. To set aside our other plans. To rearrange and reprioritize our life so that we can be with Christ. It's not easy to do. It takes a level of commitment. It takes a measure of desire. But what does it bring for us? But a taste of that kingdom, a taste of Christ, a vision of His glory. All of this is open to us. We could remain at a base level that's for the secular society, for the world, which is practice your Christian faith on Sunday morning, and that's good enough. But Christ asks something more. He asks us to be with Him not one day a week, but every day. We could take a base level of our offering back to God and say, well, we're going to give Him Sunday, and we're going to give Him some of our offerings and some of our gifts, but a certain segment has to be for me. I have to enjoy my time in my own way. And if it's in conflict with Christ and what He's doing for me, then maybe I'm just going to back away from that and keep what I've got. This is kind of a secular approach to Christianity, a nominal approach. As Orthodox Christians, we're called to something higher. We're called to a full commitment to Christ. As we find ourselves in the midst of this summer, we also find ourselves in the midst of the Domitian fast. As we find ourselves with many other things to look at and to see, we also find ourselves with an opportunity to see the transfigured Christ, to celebrate His kingdom. Let us be people who, together with the Mother of God and with all of the saints from every generation, commit ourselves wholly, our whole life, to Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ.